I'm Liam Trotter, and you're listening to Ravens Weekly. You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. Hello everyone and welcome back to the Ravens Weekly Podcast. My name is Matt Hall and I'm joined as ever by James Tanner. James, great to be back and welcome back to you as well.
Thank you, Matt. Yes, it is great to be back and we're going to do our absolute utmost to try and get these as regular as possible. I know we say that probably every time, but we do mean it this time.
I'm just going to say we're probably going to have people screaming at their... whatever they're listening to us on, saying, you said that last time. And yeah, I have to acknowledge the fact that we did, didn't we?
We did.
However, we can't stress it enough. There's obviously a lot going on in the footballing world, and particularly the National League and non-league scene at the moment. Yep. So obviously it's a very busy time for us with the small amount of staff that we've got here. So we do apologise. We do have everyone's best intentions at heart, but yes, we will try and make it more regular. But I'm not gonna say every week at the moment. But we're gonna aim for it. I guess really, James, there's only one place to start, and that's the recent 2-0 victory over King's Lynn, which was an evening filled with many positives.
Yeah, a perfect start to begin with on today's show. It was a great win, a much needed win at the time, especially having, you know, gone to Weymouth the Saturday before and had such a difficult time. I know we spoke about it quite a lot on the stream on Tuesday night, but it was a result that we wanted to put behind us very, very quickly, and it was all about the reaction. And no doubt Neil Smith of the place, a lot of emphasis on his players to react from that and go out there and put in a great performance, and they did exactly that. King's Lynn, they didn't offer too much. I think only had one shot on target on the night, which obviously doesn't bode well, especially for a team that's struggling at the moment. And I think we've seen over the two games we played in this season that they certainly have a lot of talent and they like to play. But they do seem to be struggling in terms of creating chances and scoring goals. But on the flip side, great for Bromley to keep a clean sheet, you know, especially to reward the likes of Jack Holland coming back into defence as well. And obviously for Mark Cousins as well, who potentially was looking to put behind him a difficult performance at Weymouth, obviously conceding a penalty. So for him, a clean sheet, a bit of a confidence boost. And then on the other side of the field, Courtney Duffus getting a double. So great, great result all round. And that's without mentioning the big news about Ian Vincent, of course.
Of course. And you talk about the positives in that match. There were a lot. And I just want to say, actually, it's not often you play against an opposition side and you have such a good impression of people in football nowadays. But King's Lynn Town, I must say, one of the most friendly clubs that we've experienced this season. And really full of very good people. And like you say, on the pitch, they try and do things the right way. I think we said it on the commentary many times that evening. They're not a side that will lump it up and go route one at all. They tried to play the right way. It just didn't work for them on the night. And like you say, we saw that in the reverse fixture as well. Amazing for Courtney Duffus to get his first two Bromley goals. And I think that showed what he's all about as a player. He's very strong, he's very quick, he's very direct. But that flick for the first goal, let's talk about that in a bit more depth. It was audacious, wasn't it? I don't think we could quite appreciate it until we saw the replay. It all happened so quickly.
And even the replays, I don't think, do it justice. You know, the sad thing about it is you almost want supporters to be in the ground to not just witness it but also to potentially capture it. I know some, you know, Wiley supporters sometimes film from behind the goal and such, and
what another
no
angle
doubt,
four isn't enough.
That would have been exactly that would have been an amazing angle to actually pick it up, because that would have done it justice. But yeah, the ball into the box was actually a really nice move, wasn't it, from Bromley? Patient play, Jack Bridge just on the edge of the box, a quick turn, passing out to Joe Kizzy, who fired in a great cross, you know, low and hard. Didn't need to think about it at all. He did have a lot of time. You know, there was no pressing defender at all nearby. But yeah, didn't have to think about it. Just fired it straight in, low and hard. And Courtney got in front of his marker. And yeah, that sort of flick off the inside of his right foot. just catches the goalkeeper out and, you know, nestled into the bottom corner. What a finish. And yeah, the highlights, obviously, they don't do it justice.
No,
but it was
an
amazing, amazing goal.
It was. And the second one, not so bad either. It was, again, all about Liam Trotter and his persistence in just trying to win a ball. Like I said on the night, he had no right to win. And he did, passed it through. And it's a typical, confident centre-forward finish.
It's exactly what you want to see, isn't it, from your centre forward. And you mentioned there one of his key traits is his strength. And, you know, you saw that, you know, being able to fend off the defenders, finding an angle and then fire it back across goal. It was a great finish right into the bottom corner. And for him to get the two goals, we mentioned it a lot on the commentary after that first goal. You could just see the confidence. And every time he picked up the ball, he looked to run with it and looked to create something. And a massive, massive confidence boost for him. And it's great for Bromley and great for Neil Smith to have him up and firing. It's always something that when a new striker comes to a new club, it's always about getting those first goals. And if it drags on, it does become a bit of a worry. And, you know, fans sort of think, oh, is this the right thing? Was this the right investment? Was this the right person to get on board? To have him scoring those two goals to complement Michael Cheek and James Allaby, you know, what a strike force that Neil Smith has at his disposal now.
It is, absolutely. And just before we get onto that big news that we alluded to a few moments ago, just something I want to pick up on. Obviously, the match prior to that, we're talking about this was a great response, the disappointment at Weymouth. And something Neil Smith spoke of his particular frustration at was that the discipline on that day. And all the supporters will be aware of that, that the two red cards were extremely disappointing. However, something that's probably gone under the radar a little bit is the fact there was not even a single Bromley player cautioned on that night. And we saw, didn't we, that it was quite a physical game, and in particular, Courtney Duffus was getting fouled a lot. Bromley seemed to learn from that previous experience, and the discipline was just exceptional on that night.
Exactly that, and I'm glad you brought up, this is completely unscripted as well. I've just remembered receiving an email from Jill Bennett, and obviously John Self, who has, you know, massive links to this club. He was a club secretary, I believe, for a long period of time. And he does a lot of the history articles for the club and obviously helps a lot with the programme. He actually sent me a little email, and on that Weymouth game, it's actually, since records began for Bromley, is believed to be the first time that we've ever had two players sent off
in
the same game. And just to compound the... discipline issues. But as you mentioned, hopefully we've seen a turn in that, and we've had those issues now. And yes, the fact that no one received the booking on the night, and hopefully that can translate into further games. It's actually... we're not even at the halfway stage, are we, of the season yet? And the club have already had 6 red cards.
Oh...
And this is believed to be probably the worst record in terms of discipline that the club has seen so far. So a bit of a negative there,
yeah.
But things can only get better.
Well,
so thanks, John, as always, for getting that in. And he does make a good point, whether that is a product of the fact that referees are now being a lot more stringent on challenges and obviously for the safety of players. And obviously, you know, seeing the Premier League now, the likes of the VAR decisions, you know, that there's no doubt this season it's definitely seen an uptake in the amount of red cards and yellow cards given. So whether that's a reflection of that, or if, you know, the discipline issues here at the club might need a bit of rectifying. But a bit of a stat there for you.
Well, I know that obviously Neil got the players in on the Sunday after that game and spoke very openly about his frustration at the discipline. And obviously the players have responded really well to that. He's hoping that that's all of our red cards for the season done and out
exactly.
of the way.
Exactly. Maybe that's a good thing. Yeah, get them out of the way early and then we can have good discipline for the rest of the season. But I thought I'd bring that one up. Just popped into my mind as you mentioned that, Matt.
Moving on from that, of course, there was another big positive that came around on the night, and that was a debut. Actually, two debuts.
Yes.
Let's not forget Tom Purrington, first of all, making his first competitive league appearance for Bromley. Of course, played very well in pre-season to earn himself a deal and played in the FA Trophy, nearly scored. Showed touches of excellence, didn't he, in that game, and showed what he's all about. Playing as a, let's remember it, as a winger, which is not his first choice position.
No, out of position, and I think Neil Smith mentioned it in his post-match thoughts about it was an opportunity to quote, unleash Tom onto the National League stage, and you know, he's had to bide his time and be patient. And he is sadly in a very fierce competition for places in that very, you know, bolstered midfield area where you've got the likes of Liam Trotter, Billy Bingham, Frankie Raymond, Taylor Maloney. And, you know, just on the manner of experience, league experience, you know, Tom is always going to be up against it in that case. But when the opportunity arose to fit him into the team, he's obviously playing on the wing, a position that isn't necessarily his favourite, but he did a great job and great to see him earn his debut. It's been such a long time coming and, you know, here's to many more of that in a Bromley shirt, but definitely shown signs of what he's about.
Absolutely, and great to see it as well. And I know Neil was very impressed with his attitude, and you know he's had to wait. And Neil was saying that he's had to be patient, as have other players. But he's really come in and you know made a good impression, which is fantastic. And of course, Liam Vincent, a very proud moment, not only for Liam, not only for his family, but for Bromley Football Club, the academy, and just everybody around here in general, isn't it? It's a product of our own academy and youth section, who is making quite the impression.
Yeah, it's such an amazing story to just watch unfold. And he obviously, you know, really came onto the scene during pre-season, but plenty had been going on, you know, prior to that. He'd, you know, featured in the training squad at the back end of last season, joining up the academy at the start of that academic year. And to have Liam make his National League debut, as well as the FA Trophy debut, of course, an amazing moment for him, for his family, and also for the club and the academy as well, to have that clear pathway just on show. And we saw it recently with Jude Arthurs making his full debut in the National League against Woking, obviously coming through the under-23 setup and still being a part of Roger Johnson's side in that respect. Amazing to see, and again, no doubt his classmates and his teammates from the academy, and let's not forget Liam's represented the club since under-14s at the youth section, and he's, you know, been, I believe his manager at the time was former goalkeeping coach Glenn Schimmel, and he's obviously gone through the various stages of the academy, youth academy and academy, so no doubt all of his previous coaches and current coach should be so proud to see him doing so well. And again, it's just a story that we want to see continue, and hopefully we can see plenty more of him this season.
Celebrated his 18th birthday last week, and just what a grounded young man this guy is. Yeah. And he's got serious potential, hasn't he?
Yeah, he does. And, you know, it's always a case of when you get an exciting young talent to start, you know, fast forwarding, and yes, he can reach here, he can get there. I think for now, especially in this current climate, you know, when I had a very, very brief chat with him after the game, it was all about, you know, just enjoy the moment. And, you know, it's just so proud to achieve that goal. And now it's about making the next goal. And I know he's already said he wants to make his, you know, he wants to earn a start now in the National League. That is his next target. And it's great for him to be saying things like that. It's not about, you know, I want to crack on and, you know, be playing here in a certain X amount of years. Just enjoy the next stages in your career. There's no point growing up too fast, especially now where, you know, most young people, and obviously everyone in this current climate, is losing out on valuable time in their lives, especially for children. They're missing out times in their childhood and being able to, you know, go out to the parks and play football with their friends. So there's no point trying to grow up too quickly. It's about savouring those moments. And for Liam, you know, for us, you know, sharing that moment with him on Tuesday was a very, very special thing. And again, just really hope we can see much more of him this season.
Yes, watch this space of really very, very exciting talent. And like I said, the issue with a lot of young players nowadays is attitude, not ability. Yeah. Liam's attitude is exceptional, as is his talent. His attitude is first class, and I'm sure that he's going to go very far in the game. And we look forward to seeing more from him, as you say. Let's move on then from the good news of Kings Lynn. And James, for you, you did leave early on the day. Myself, not so early. Yeah. I think I got to Badger's Mount with Jeff. And we turned round. James, I believe you pretty much got to the ground, didn't you?
Yeah.
Willstone, we're talking about.
went past Heathrow, M25, and obviously got the call that the game was off, so had a swift U-turn. It was always a risk, I suppose, leaving that early. But, you know, especially with the weather conditions, plenty of League 2 and League 1 games called off because of the conditions, frozen pitches, and that's what it went foul to on Saturday at Wealdstone. So, yeah, real shame that the game couldn't be on. You know, in previous weeks, we've obviously had the games flipped around. When we played Halifax, And obviously, they knew well in advance that their pitch wouldn't be playable. So we flipped it around. It's a shame. Obviously, that potentially could have been an option, but obviously didn't happen. And now it just means that both clubs have got further fixture congestion down the line. So, yeah, a real shame that the game couldn't go ahead, especially for, you know, from Bromley perspective, having got that win Tuesday night, looking to continue that form. But, yeah. No game on Saturday, which means a bit more rest for some players returning and getting back to fitness, like to Luke Coulson, Harry Forster, who potentially may have been near or thereabouts on Saturday's game, should hopefully be back in contention, depending on when you're listening to this, of course, for Tuesday night's away trip to Dagenham.
Absolutely. And just a note to those of you who got stream passes for that Wolverstone game. I know some of the fans held off, as was probably a wise decision in the end. They will be carried over to the return fixture, though, looking at the fixture calendar at the minute, I think that might be quite a while away. We are, I've started talks with Wildstone today, making it sound much more busy than it needs to be. I've discussed with Wildstone today the return fixture date, and I'm obviously not in a position to say it yet, but it's not exactly round the corner. So, we will obviously keep everyone updated, but if you have got stream pass, don't worry, it will be valid for the return game, whenever that may be. And yes, of course, we move on now to Dagenham. And first of all, two angles perhaps to look at this. Of course, this game should have been played during the Christmas period when, of course, unfortunately, there was COVID in the camp and there was a period of isolation. Obviously, Bromley didn't lose on either occasion last year, and I think you put the video up on Twitter, James. A dramatic last minute equaliser in front of the BT Sport cameras, let's add, last season at Victoria Road, and a brilliant 3-0 win at home. I believe that was around the Christmas period as well.
Any excuse to get that the footage of Rico's goal. It's brilliant because we have both angles of it as well. You have it from that BT view, which I believe was on Dagenham's gantry. So this was the 1-1 draw. You know, Bromley 1-0 down for vast majority of the
game. I think it was the third or fourth minute the goal was in.
Chasing it, and were the better side on the day. And again, you look back now, you know, the away end was packed out with Bromley supporters. And yeah, it got to that final minute of added time, and Adamecki played the ball into Rico. He spun, left the defender in his dust and fired it into the bottom corner. And yeah, it's great.
Scenes in the away end.
From the BT camera, you have the amazing scenes of the stand and obviously the close-ups of Neil on the bench going crazy.
They've been used a few times.
It's been used a fair few times. But we also put out the footage from the main stand. And actually, I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, when the goal goes in the bottom left-hand corner, I think it's members of Rico's family just get up and celebrate in the home end. I believe they may have got tickets in the home end or were just there as guests. And there's just huge celebrations in the bottom left-hand frame. And yeah, great scenes, and just great that we have both angles of that, because what a moment, what a goal.
I have to expand on that, because I was actually sat in the media area with Jeff behind Rico's family. We didn't know it for the entire game. And bear in mind, Rico is actually from Redbridge.
Yes.
So his family are very local. Rico came through the ranks at Dagenham and Redbridge and signed his first professional deal at Dagenham and Redbridge. Didn't, of course, make a first-team appearance, but he is a product of Dagenham and Redbridge. Can I say that any more times? and, of course, Jeff and I, in obligatory fashion, we have to just go absolutely crazy. And you know, with a goal like that, you're going to, aren't you? Our emotions definitely got the better of us. I was sat right next to, before social distancing was a thing, loads of Dagenham fans, and Jeff and I just looked at each other like, okay, we might want to calm down a bit now. And then all of a sudden, we heard someone else cheering. Rico's whole family were two rows in front of us, turning around, giving us fist pumps. It was brilliant. And amazing. I think Anne-Marie, who's Rico's mum, was leading those celebrations. And what a great moment for him, and what a fantastic player he is. Of course, very much missed at Hayes Lane nowadays. But it was a special moment. Moving on from that one, that preserved our unbeaten run at that point as well in the last few seconds. The home fixture, which I believe was actually after, wasn't it? Because that was quite early in the season.
I think it was that fixture between Boxing Day and New Year's
Day. Yes, which it was meant to be this year.
Yes.
And it wasn't. Yep. The away game, which is what we're playing this week. Yep. So a bit of a different story that day, just from start to finish, Bromley on top.
Blew them away. Michael Cheek, Luke Coulson.
Josh Rees.
Josh Rees scoring on the night. A perfect performance on the night. And that last season was actually probably the first time that Bromley have actually got the better of Dagenham on the majority. Years before, I think we have beaten them once before at home.
Yes, haven't won at Victoria Road though.
Haven't, yeah.
And that's what I was going to say earlier.
Was the most positive result we've actually had, because we've had a very heavy defeat there, which we won't mention.
We won't talk about that.
I think it was another fairly narrow defeat there. But yeah, not too much luck against them in previous years. But last season was a real turning point, and hopefully more of the same on Tuesday night. No doubt, again, as we mentioned, this is going out Monday evening. If you've listened to after that, you can feel free to, depending on the result, skip ahead of this bit. But looking forward to it. It's always a decent marker, especially against a side that's been in the Football League for quite some time, having quite a tough time at the minute, though, aren't they, in the National League? Quite a changed side, new manager and everything that's going on as well. So Bromley, really should think about, going in there with a real positive mindset. Again, looking to reignite that away form, which has been so reliable this season, Weymouth aside. Looking to just carry on where they left off last Tuesday against King's Lynn.
And Dagenham and Redbridge, of course, currently 18th in the Vanarama National League table. Played one more game than Bromley. They're on 20 and they've got 23 points, which is six less than Bromley at the moment. Like you say, James, it's a really strange one because on paper, it's one of the strongest squads in the league, with a strike force of Paul McCallum, Angelo Balanta, Darren McQueen, to name only three, is incredible. And talent all over the squad. Elliot Justham, an outstanding goalkeeper as well. And of course, not doing as well as people thought they would at this point.
No, that's perfectly fair to say. And I think, a lot of the talk around the Dagenham fan base isn't largely positive at the minute. So again, it just adds further fuel to sort of the hope that Bromley can go there, add further woes to Dagenham. Not that you ever want to wish it on the club, but just for Bromley's perspective, look to really kick on now and try and edge their way closer and get into those playoff places. And I really think this is a game that there should be no fear. It's a contest that's gone on through the years now, since Bromley were promoted into the National League and obviously Dagenham were relegated. And there's no need to fear them or worry about you mentioned the names there. It is a very strong National League level squad, but equally the squad that Neil Smith has at his disposal is frightening when they're all fit.
And of course, forgot to mention Adrian Clifton, former Bromley man, is currently plying his trade for Dagenham Redbridge. So it'll be interesting to see if he's involved at any point. Just talking about Dagenham Redbridge's last game, particularly because there was quite a story that came out of it, wasn't there? Sam Slocum, the Notts County goalkeeper, being sent off after, I think, 17 minutes. Yeah. And Notts County without a goalkeeper on the bench. Let me add that during the sending off, he, of course, conceded a penalty as well. Straight red card, he's off, no keeper on the bench. 38-year-old Michael Doyle, who is a midfielder, goes in goal. Paul McCallum missed the penalty, hit the post, and Notts County were 3-0 up at half time and ended up winning 3-1. It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a ridiculous story, really.
And let me add, it was 0-0 when the goalkeeper got sent off.
Again, ridiculous story. And, I've seen lots of news and reports on Doyle's performance in that game. Apparently, he used to play
Gaelic football. Yeah, which helped, apparently.
And, drew upon experiences from that to help him in goal. Yeah, what a ridiculous story. And I think, again, that just, you look at it at quite a broad perspective, the fact that Dagenham didn't, they scored obviously, but didn't go on to really cause Notts County too many worries. Again, that does ring alarm bells. And of course, when you go away to Notts County, it is always such a difficult test, and it always will be, but especially with a man down and an outfield player in goal, you would really hope and expect to be in a bit more of a contest, and to go there and lose 3-1 eventually certainly isn't the result they were after. And obviously Saturday just gone, they had their game against Hartlepool United called off at Victoria Road. So a side really looking to get a performance in now. And, similarly to Bromley, I think they'll be looking to go out there and put in a decent performance. But I think, this is just further sort of positives to take for Bromley's perspective, that in the fact that they shouldn't go there and fear anything at all. Go out there, worry about themselves, and hopefully get a decent result.
Absolutely, but like you say, should be a good contest. Dagenham will certainly be jumping at the bit to respond to recent form. Let's move on from that one then, and it's another home game on Saturday, James, as Maidenhead United are the visitors to Hayes Lane. And I've got on our notes here, memorable games. There have been so many. Yes. I'm just trying to think of all of them in my head over recent years. I think there was a 4-all in there, wasn't there?
Yeah.
I think we were winning at the time. And am I right in saying that was our title winning season?
I think it was, yes.
Yeah,
again, that was in one of the latter stages of the season.
It was.
I think it was one of the, potentially the third or fourth final away game of the season. And that was definitely that season. Again, just added further just chaos and carnage to the end run-in of that campaign. We have had some very, very memorable games for the right and wrong reasons. we've also had some very decent displays at home. So not to mention the away games, which have been very high scoring. The 4-all, I think there was a 5-2 defeat.
There was,
Last season's draw, this season's dramatic draw with the ridiculous goals.
Last season's win, the season before, that was the draw, wasn't it?
Of course.
Two goals in the injury time for Bromley to pull it level. I think you and I were on the commentary that day.
Yeah. ridiculous.
Just trying to think back to it.
No, I know.
It Roger Johnson was playing up front in those final few minutes, wasn't he?
Won the flick on. We're obviously hosting them at Hayes Lane. Again, we've had plenty of memorable home games. I think there's been a 6-1 in recent years.
Yes.
And again, no doubt it'll be a great contest. The two clubs have been going at it for years in the National South and National League. Always a game that everyone looks forward to. And clubs that, in terms of sort of size, stature and the way they're going about things, fairly similar on and off the field. Not to mention that Maidenhead have changed their kit to all white, similar to Bromley for this season. And I believe are celebrating their
150th.
And I think that's this week.
Yes.
So again, great time for both clubs. Looking forward to it, and lots of friendly faces as well.
Definitely, and I'm sure we'll be hearing from some of those on our pre-match show on the live stream, which of course we'd like to give a big shout out to. And this week we've just decided, haven't we, that our guest is going to be Jack Holland, which will be an interview not to miss. When the players sit in these chairs, actually I'm sitting in one of them now. They just seem to open up, don't they? And you just get so much out of those, so much value from those interviews. You not only learn about the player, you learn about the person, which I think is really important as well. And, a lot of people from the outside might just see them as players. Of course, for us, it's people that we work with day in, day out. And it's really important, I think, to see the value of them as people as well as players. And it's been a really insightful experience for us, I think it's fair to say, hasn't it?
Yeah, and this season, it's more important than ever because
to keep people connected, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah. It's exactly that. The rest of the Bromley FC community literally cannot come into contact with the team at the minute. Obviously, we're allowed to for that Yeovil and Stockport County game, but aside from that, it's a very important way of connecting, especially some of the new players as well. We had Jack Bridge on last week. And James Alabi in recent weeks as well. No doubt we'll hopefully potentially getting the likes of Courtney Duffus.
Definitely, that'll be a good one.
And so on in coming weeks. It's just about creating that connection. And not that a connection needs to be made anymore with Jack Holland. But
Mr. Bromley FC.
It's going to be a fascinating one. I'm already really looking forward to that one. So, if it isn't already intriguing you enough, make sure you get your stream passes for that. They're up now on our website, $9.99. Every purchase directly helps your club. And the usual top quality, we must say, commentary.
There is a mute option.
Yeah, there is. So if you want to get rid of the commentary and just stick with the very, very professional multi-camera broadcast, then please do go and get your stream passes for that one.
Just want to shout out Paul Jorge, who's a very loyal Bromley supporter.
Yes.
Him and his family, a wonderful family, great people. And Paul is really passionate, I think it's fair to say. He put out a song that he made up for Jack Holland with his guitar. It is brilliant,
isn't
it?
It is amazing.
Paul and his guitar, I just love it. It's great.
No, it is class. Might have to find a way of getting that onto the match day playlist or something for Saturday's game.
Paul, we need your permission, so drop me a message, mate.
Yep.
But no, big shout out to Paul for his very different ways of showing his support, which is amazing, and we absolutely love it, Paul. So thank you so much for that. Of course, we mentioned, James, I'm just thinking on my feet here, that Jack's our guest for Saturday's show. We tend to record it on the Thursday or the Friday, don't we? So why don't we ask the supporters who are listening to this podcast if there's anything they'd like to ask Jack, and we will read out the question and Jack will happily answer it, I'm sure. Of course, we are after sensible questions. We're going to filter out anything that's not so sensible. Not that any of you need reminding on that, but we'd love to have some questions from you, the supporters, as we just want to try and find ways of connecting with you more. So what better opportunity than to give you the floor and ask Jack your question? So just tweet us back or message us back on whatever social media you're viewing this on. Don't forget, if you're on Twitter, hashtag Ravens Weekly and hashtag Ask Jack, or you can email us podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk and we'll get those questions asked to him. Please try and get them into us before Thursday if you can, and we'll probably be recording it towards the end of the week. So yeah, hopefully we get some good questions from people.
Yeah, that's great. That's what a perfect opportunity as well, especially for Jack, someone that's been at the club for a ridiculous amount of time, has gone on to make well over 300 appearances.
A true legend.
So yeah, definitely take this opportunity to ask your questions away, and as Matt mentions there, just fire them away on the social media channels. And we'll pick them up.
I'm sure Dawn Bennett will be sending a question in, Dawn. Yep. So if you're listening, I await your question. I expect your question. Right, let's move on then. I just want to touch on something off the field before we talk about general National League matters, and that's Children's Mental Health Week. We covered it on the previous live stream. I just want to spend just a minute on this, as I'm conscious this has gone on a bit longer than we thought. But wasn't it such a great experience for us to be able to coordinate something that made such a difference to people? We've had some heartwarming messages from parents and children from our own youth teams and children that have contacted us through their parents to just request a message from a first team player, and all the content we put out. James, you were a massive help with all of that in terms of the editing and the graphics, and it was a pleasure to coordinate this for myself, Jeff and Sue Whittaker. It was humbling, wasn't it, with the responses some of the players gave.
Again, it was, you know, in this current time it's so important to spend a very considerable amount of time on mental health in general, and also for children's mental health as well. I mentioned earlier about, you know, not trying to grow up too fast in Liam Vincent's case. It certainly applies now that children are missing out on their childhood, you know, missing out on that contact time at schools and being with your friends, being able to go to the park and mix with everyone. So yeah, it's a massive task in time on everyone's life. So no, it was a really, really great to see the club take such an active stance in this, and you know, only do my best to help that, because it's such an important thing to do.
It is, and it was really a real pleasure to do it. I actually really enjoyed the coordinating process and working with all the others that were involved in it, like yourself and the players. And Neil was just, as soon as he heard about this, we sat down, and Neil was just, look, how can we as a management and as a first team make this as big as it can be? And I think that the format we used was very effective, and I think the daily messages, every single senior first team player was involved, and we would have loved to have got the younger ones involved, but there just wasn't enough time and enough days were there. So it was really great, and some of the messages, you know, in particular, you look at ones from the likes of Jack and the experienced players that are really sharing what helped them as a younger player, it was humbling. So yeah, really, really proud of the club's efforts and everybody involved. So a great experience that. Moving on then to National League matters, and of course, supporters will be aware at the minute that clubs are voting on how the season should continue, and of course, we've voted for the season to continue, and we're just currently awaiting the news from around the National League and the North and South divisions, obviously, as to what's going to happen. We don't, of course, have a time frame on that, as some clubs are taking longer to vote than others, so it's just a case of wait and see, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, obviously a very important and potentially landmark moment in our league, and obviously the National South and North as well. You know, everyone's just wanting news, and unfortunately there isn't really much, is there? And you know, there's going to be so much time to reflect on everything that's, you know, been handled and gone on in the case of the National League this season. You know, plenty of areas of contention and you know, what was going on there, and why have they said this, and why haven't they said any of this? So yeah, there's just so much to digest, and every day there's something new coming out. And obviously the major news in recent days affecting our league is, of course, the fact that Dover Athletic have put all their first team players on furlough, which
and
is
staff,
obviously, which is obviously, you know, really, really sad to see. But no doubt it's a move taken in the steps to try and save that club. And it's a club that, you know, we all want to see here this time next year as well. So,
yes, yeah, very playing out more local derbies, of course.
Exactly. You know, a club that we obviously have plenty of interaction with. So, yeah, it's a very, very, very strange time, especially when, you know, as far as we're all aware, it's, you know, carry on as normal. You know, the league continues and, you know, playing Tuesday night at Dagenham, hosting Maidenhead on Saturday. Yet so many clubs around the league are, you know, potentially not playing, looking to stop playing, not able to fulfil fixtures for the safety of the club and the longevity of the club surviving. So it's, yeah, it's a very, very strange and difficult time, and it's compounded even more by the fact that we don't potentially know the full picture of it all, and it's all coming through drips and drabs and hearsay and this coming up on Twitter and being reported by certain newspapers. So, yeah, difficult time, but, you know, I think one thing that Bromley supporters can take confidence in is that, you know, the club is continuing to play its fixtures, and I'm pretty sure we'll continue to do so. I think that is the stance.
Absolutely it is. And like we say, any news that we get once a decision has been reached by the clubs and the answer to Resolution 1, of course, as well, which is put in simple terms, you know, whether the clubs want to vote as a National League Premier Division or as a whole three leagues, or whether each league should have its separate, or each step, I should say, should have its separate vote. And of course, that's one to get out of the way before the future of the league is decided. So we will, of course, keep you updated once we get anything on that. But there is no news on a general scale at the minute. But of course, just to recap, do get your questions in for Jack Holland, who is going to be our guest on this week's live stream as we take on Maidenhead United. Get your questions in. Respond to the social media posts you're seeing this on using the hashtag Ravens Weekly and hashtag Ask Jack, or you can email us via podcast at bromleyfc.co.uk. And I think that is just about us now.
Absolutely, yeah. Covered plenty
there. It's
been
great, hasn't it?
Great to be back again. Hopefully it's not too long before we're back once more. But yeah, just for those listening beyond Tuesday night, definitely get those stream passes in for Saturday's game. Going to be a great one at home to Maidenhead, no doubt. A very, very fierce contest. And hopefully we're speaking to you with a decent result on Tuesday night. But we are recording this ahead of that game. So yeah, feel free to delete as appropriate there.
Delete and skip, yes. It's been a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Just before we go, I want to mention one more thing, and that is, of course, the 100 Club, which is, or 100 Plus Club, yep, I should call it now, which is about to, in a couple of months, celebrate its 10-year anniversary. And John Richardson and Arthur Duplock, in particular, have volunteered their time and effort to this, which has so far in those 10 years raised over £30,000 for the club and continues to donate money on a monthly basis. Stuart Steele, who was one of the supporters, and I don't know whether he listens to this, but won a prize in last month's draw and donated it back to the club. So a big thank you to Stuart and a number of supporters who did that earlier on during previous lockdowns, and it is so much appreciated, and it does get noticed, I can promise that. So big shout out to that. It's available on our website if you want more information or if you want to join up. It is a way, James, like we were saying earlier, of supporting the club whilst you can't be here to watch the games and buy the tickets. So if you are interested, have a look on our website. It's the 100 Plus Club. There are chances to win 5 monthly prizes. Even I've won one once ever. I actually had to announce it on the PA and I got booed as I did it. People thought it was fixed. I think it was like 4th prize anyway. But yeah, it's definitely something worth being involved with. And even some of the first team players and management as well, aren't they?
They are. Neil Smith, first team manager, I think, won top prize not too long ago.
Moving on. Yeah, again, that got some suspicious feedback from people. Weren't too sure on that one. But I can assure you, John does it all completely above board with independent witnesses. So it is not fixed
at all. No.
But thank you to all of the people who are involved in it. Not only John and Arthur, but the people who've been supporting it for many years and the people who've just joined up. It really, really does make a difference. And we really do appreciate it. But I think you and me, James, could go on all night here, but I'm pretty sure all the listeners want to get on with their evening.
Let's save it all for next time.
Yes, save it all for the live show. So do join us for the pre-match show and live stream of Saturday's game against Maidenhead. We're live from 2:30 with that pre-match show, and kickoff is, of course, at 3 o'clock. James, once again, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a pleasure once again. We hope to be back with you soon. But until then, take care and stay safe. Thanks once again. Just one team for me, and that's